Come on, Arizona. Walk with me around back here and let's see what we've got Mr. John J. Harper up to. It's a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. I bet you he already cut the grass this morning. Probably pulled a few weeds. He's probably sitting under a shade tree thinking, man, you know what? I got my chores done early and it's too pretty to work today. What do you say?
I actually fed my tomato plants and backwashed my pool.
Uh-huh.
The pool, yeah,
because you got the lawn done last night.
Exactly right. You got exactly right. I got home. The nice thing about the days being longer now is I can get home, get the lawn mowed, edged, get everything blown off, cleaned up on an evening after work now. So that you're right. I got all that done last night. Got the working on the pool still from the hurricane we had the other night, and so got the pool backwashed. Did feed my tomato plants with some good old special Hickman's chicken manure fertilizer. Got them fed. They're starting to bloom, starting to set some fruit. Looking good.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you have a question for Mr. John J. Harper about anything that that grows, needs to be trimmed, clipped, manicured, cut, it's 1-888-767-4348. You can text questions to 411-923 or email pictures to info@rosieonthehouse.com if you need a little help with some kind of plant identification. And for those that don't broadcast the 7 o'clock hour, we've had a great conversation and topic about a bill that Rosie on the House wants to pass. It's called a Too Pretty to Work Day, a day just like today. Do you feel like being in this glass enclosed nerve center?
We should be doing this show at one of our garden centers, Rosie on the House Partners, a nursery, a garden somewhere. I mean, as pretty as it is, I mean, I have you seen just even, I'm not even talking about the desert. If you haven't been for a drive out, take a Sunday drive out in the desert somewhere, or between here and Payson, or between here and Flagstaff, it's amazing. But just in town, the bougainvilleas and the lantana and the Palo Verdes are starting to bloom, and oh, my heavens, with all that rain we had this winter and a mild winter and things didn't freeze back, it's pretty fabulous, pretty spectacular out there. So, boy, get out and enjoy it. It's time to be doing all kinds of things in the garden. We can be planting. We can be finishing up our trimming, of course, fertilizing. I know a lot of people still working on some weeds. We did have a few of those this winter. So that's kind of a priority. Some of them are starting to dry up and burn up, so you want to make sure you get rid of those before they become a little bit of a fire hazard. But there's just a ton of things, and be thinking about your irrigation system. As we, you know, I know we had a very nice cool spell the last couple days, but we are into April, and it's going to get warmer, and your plants are going to need more water. Some are going to have to start watering. Some of you have had your irrigation controllers basically turned off most of the winter. So be checking them out. Turn them on while you're home. Most of our irrigation systems run maybe in the middle of the night or early in the morning. We never see them. You might be surprised where they're spraying. They might not be spraying where they should be. So let's turn them on when we're home, walk around, make sure everything's functioning, don't have any leaks. To worry about, because once it gets warm, you will find out if it's working properly or not at the expense of maybe a dead plant or a big brown patch in your lawn.
Come home, you turn the timer back on and it's not set till Tuesday at 3 o'clock. You get home and there's a stream running down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, take care of all of that, on a Saturday or a Sunday when you can literally, turn it on and walk around and see what's going on.
You'd mentioned your lawn. I'm assuming you still have your rye.
Yeah, absolutely. Your rye, we had that a week or so ago when it got pretty warm, and it might have started to stress it a little bit, especially if you're mowing it a little bit shorter. But I usually try and get my rye through April because the Bermudas are starting to wake up and starting to green up, but they're usually not really rocking and rolling until about May. So I would say get your rye another month. Now, I probably wouldn't fertilize it again. We don't want to really encourage it too much, but we certainly want to maybe kick the water up a little bit, make sure it doesn't stress out too early. But along about the end of April, the first part of May, we want to start making that transition, mowing it short, and trying to get rid of that ryegrass as fast as we can come May.
Well, while we're on that topic, before we jump to our next point, Wanda's on the line talking about questions on her winter lawn. So while we're on topic, let's slip Wanda into the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. How may we help you?
Yes, well, I didn't hear all of that comment, but I think it's right along the line of what I'm calling about. I had a pretty nice winter lawn and been fertilizing it once a month and giving it, I think, enough water. And all of a sudden, after it got, you know, we had those few warm days, I've started getting some kind of dry, almost dead spots mm-hmm. in the lawn. And I don't know what to do for it. I don't know what to do right now to prepare for the summer lawn. So that's my question. What do I do?
Well, once that lawn starts to transition, and in your case, it is. It's, you know, you've got some places that are just pooping out. Got warm. You know, maybe you weren't watering as much as it wanted to be watered. At this point, I might start forcing the issue if it's already done that, because once those places burn up like that, they're not probably going to come back. The Bermuda is going to have to come up through those. So that's a good point. Once the lawn starts to do that, that's kind of what gives me
no fighting it.
Yeah, that's usually when I go, okay, it's time, you know, and get a spot or two. I'll take it down. I'll start mowing it shorter, lower my lawnmower maybe a notch every week over the next 3 or 4 weeks until you've got it pretty well scalped down and the lawn's going to be kind of all of it'll be brown, you know, for a week or two till the Bermuda then starts to have a chance to come up through that thatch. So, yeah, well, I don't think you have much else you can do, Wanda, other than either live with a few brown spots or go ahead and force the issue and start making that transition right away.
And you said not to fertilize, and I'm glad you did, because I was actually planning on fertilizing today. Not necessarily that I wanted to overly extend the length of my rye, but you hear over and over again that a healthy lawn is the best thing to snuff out weeds. And my back lawn, I neglect my front lawn, we've got well under control, but I've actually been a little neglected, so I thought, maybe I'll hit it with some fertilizer and some weed beater complete at the same time. Give it both the weed killer and the growth spurt to try and snuff out a little bit of the weeds.
Well, it just depends on, you know, now if I had an event or a wedding or something, you know, towards maybe the middle or end of April, I might fertilize that ryegrass one more time, try and encourage it to really look good, you know, for the next 30 to 45 days. If I'm planning on transitioning my lawn, though, come maybe the end of April or the first part of May, I probably wouldn't.
Let that Bermuda come on stronger, faster.
And as Wanda had, you know, you got start getting a spot here or a spot there, or the lawn just starts to kind of start looking like it's stressing out, that ryegrass is stressing out, man, I just go ahead and force the issue at that point and start mowing it short.
Interesting text from the Whitman area wants to know, is it okay to plant over a leach bed? For anyone not familiar with that, a septic system, somebody that's not hooked up to city sewage, you have this big tank in your backyard, and there's these leach lines that go out that the solids go to the bottom and the liquids go out through these leach lines out in the backyard that are usually, I can't remember codes, it's been 14 years since my last septic install, but I think they're at least 18 inches depth-wise.
I don't know. I'm with you. I don't remember. But the problem with planting like right over the top of them is, you know, roots are going to of large trees are going to proliferate with all that moisture, and they could then end up getting back into your septic tank. I don't think it'd be a big issue if they knew to stay in the leach field. But I probably would not. I don't think it's probably a great idea to plant, at least trees. Now, if you're talking about a lawn over the top of it or small shrubs or something, I probably not an issue at all. But I certainly wouldn't plant a big shade tree in the middle of it.
Our backyard lawn is right over the leach fields. We had turned our irrigation off. You can tell right through the lawn where the leach lines are, because it's a little greener strip and a little taller in these perfectly straight lines.
Yeah, it makes sense. And as far as for a lawn, it's not a big issue. You know, it's shallow rooted. It's not going to, you know, you're not going to have an invasive root problem getting back into anything. So lawn would be a great thing to put over a leach field.
Any health issues if we're putting a tomato plant or a vegetable garden?
Yeah, we use, you know, milorganite, which is, you know, treated sewage, effluent, sludge.
Our riders from that Milwaukee area, mm-hmm. not really, but
to fertilize edibles with, I wouldn't worry about it.
She said the people in that area call it Milwaukee turd fertilizer. You have to know, Becky, you know how funny that is. It's a very thick Minnesotan accent or that area.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, Milwaukee turd, that's a good fertilizer. I hope she's not listening.
Well, that's okay. We're having fun with her.
You're going to have fun at the nursery a little bit later.
We are, believe it or not. And this is no April Fool's joke. It is April 1st.
That's right, it is.
First Saturday of the month is always hot dogs and horticulture. So we'll be grilling dogs, and I'll be there to, if you got any kind of gardening questions, concerns, pictures, diagnoses, you got me captive. I'll be there all day. You come in and ask questions, and let's see if we can figure out your landscape, your lawn, your garden. You know, do a little planning, maybe a little problem solving. That's what we're there for. We call it hot dogs and horticulture. So, I'll do the horticulture part, and Mike Patron will be grilling dogs.
For April Fools, you should tell people you're charging for hot dogs, and you see the reaction.
We might get more traffic. Yeah. Somebody, they're free, they can't be any good, right?
Right. Hey, it'd be a perfect day to try it. And then if it worked, great. If not, hey, it was just an April Fool's.
All right, they're $100. Come on out.
All organic.
That's right.